What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
There's a general distrust, a growing distrust of fiat currency, of paper money around the world. And this growing distrust is at a retail level, but it's also now at the level of governments, central banks, etc. People want gold. They have a distrust of paper currency. We've definitely seen a big paradigm shift in the market where the East has been accumulating gold at a rapid pace. The West has been somewhat asleep. But now, outside of North America, we see central banks all over the world getting their hands on as much gold as possible. And I think that's foreshadowing a very difficult time coming up globally in terms of financial environment, geopolitically speaking, etc.
Welcome to another RTD interview. Today, I'm excited to have first-time guests, Mr. Brian Suzerchuk, President and CEO of Great Pacific Gold Corp. So Brian is an accomplished mining executive with experience in structuring, financing, and operating significant projects similar to K92 Mining Incorporated. And he's known for his strategic insights into electrification impact on the metals markets. And today he joins us to share his thoughts on the economy, metals, as well as the gold exploration sector. So Brian, welcome to RTD Interviews.
Michael, thanks a lot for having me on.
Yes, I appreciate you taking time to join me. As I mentioned before, we start recording here. Definitely looking forward to, tapping into your brain and just understanding more of the importance of gold as well as the opportunities in the exploration space. And so we're going to definitely dive into your company and everything like that. But before we get into there, I'd like to just get an idea as to some things that you're keeping an eye on as an investor as well as a CEO. And so based upon where you're sitting at this current moment, what are some things, one or two things that concerns you about the macro or just the financial markets in general that makes gold as well as other metals so important for the viewers to really begin taking a look at nowadays?
Absolutely, Michael. I think there are two big and separate themes right now that are very prominent out there. One has to do with gold and the precious metals, the other with copper. And as we'll talk about with regards to Great Pacific, we have some significant exposure to both gold and copper. In terms of gold, I like to say, let's look at what the central banks are doing around the world, not what they're saying. Take a look at the actions, and what you'll see is that outside of North America, you have central bank buying from all corners of the globe. And what this indicates to me is that there's a general distrust, a growing distrust of fiat currency, of paper money around the world. And this growing distrust is at a retail level, but it's also now at the level of governments, central banks, etc. People want gold. They have a distrust of paper currency. We've definitely seen a big paradigm shift in the market where the East has been accumulating gold at a rapid pace. The West has been somewhat asleep. But now, outside of North America, we see central banks all over the world getting their hands on as much gold as possible. And I think that's foreshadowing a very difficult time coming up globally in terms of financial environment, geopolitically speaking, etc. And then on the copper end of things, we have an industrialization push around the world, emerging markets are growing at a rapid pace. Huge population centers are industrializing, and that will drive demand for copper. And that, alongside with these pushes around the world for electrification, decarbonization. Nothing happens in that realm without copper. And while demand for copper is skyrocketing, we've seen mine supply forecasts over the near and midterm decreasing. So you're really going to get a supply-demand imbalance here. So I think the setup for gold and for copper has just never been better than what I've seen in my career.
Interesting. And as you're just talking about, you know, copper, I recently came across an article. I'll show that in a moment. But the current price action, you know, I guess price action tells the truth. And so right now we're witnessing all-time highs in gold. And that right there is because I follow the price action for quite some time now. And so from an investor standpoint, when you see gold shoot up to all-time highs, say, you know, say $2,400, and it corrected a little bit as of recently, that definitely tells a story. But, you know, does that surprise you at all? And so $2,400, even though it's historical in nature, given the journey of an ounce of gold from, you know, 100 years ago when it, you know, 1 ounce, give or take, was around $20 or so, to now at $2,400, you know, I guess what could be the ceiling for the USD price in gold given the environment we're in now? And just to look out the remainder of this decade, based upon all the mining aspects of things, you know, where does gold have to go price-wise in order to make it an incentive for miners to continue to, you know, continue to dig deeper in these, in where, because they're having difficulties uncovering new mines and things like that?
Sure. It's a great question. And I think for the first time in our history, you know, worldwide, we're starting to understand the weaponization of paper currencies. And we're seeing the effects of that weaponization in real time. And we're starting to see tit for tat actions between different players globally, different nations globally. And of course, this all comes back to the weaponization of the US dollar. So you've got central banks, governments around the world, they want to convert some of that exposure to gold, which for thousands of years has withstood the test of time. Now, interestingly, with various inflationary pressures, natural evolution of the industry, you've seen the average cost to produce gold move higher and higher. And you see multiple companies coming out talking about the fact that they have $1,400, $1,500, $1,600 all-in sustaining cost per ounce of production. And this is a really clear trend. You've got increasing costs to mine gold. You've got more and more demand for physical. And I also think that the market globally is waking up to the fact that you want physical gold rather than these derivatives of gold or paper promises of gold. So with increasing physical demand and with increasing costs, I think that, again, this is just a perfect setup for gold to go higher. And gold will need to go higher for many of the mines out there to continue operations. And at the same time, we do see that increasing demand that ought to drive the price higher. So whatever side of the coin you look at this, whether it's from the supply side or demand side, the macro setup is just incredibly attractive in terms of gold price. And I do really believe that 5-10 years ago, you heard very little distrust as to paper equivalents of gold. Now you have a more educated consumer out there or purchaser of gold, both on a retail level, an institutional level, and actually also, of course, as I've mentioned, on a government level, people want physical. And to me, given the imbalance out there, this only means one thing, and that's much, much higher prices. It's tough to predict ultimately where this goes. And I've seen people very knowledgeable, like Pierre Lassonde, et cetera, talking about some astronomically high gold prices, but those are tough to disagree with, those types of forecasts. So can we see $10,000, $15,000 gold? In my view, absolutely. What I tend to look for and what we tend to look for as a group and what our track record shows is that we like to look for high grade, high margin type mining situations so that if we're wrong as to the price of gold over time, or if it simply takes longer for gold to get to those levels, these can still be great businesses with gold at $1,500 an ounce, $2,000 an ounce, $2,500 an ounce. So I think that type of flexibility is important from an operational perspective, but my view is that gold goes much, much higher here.
Interesting. Thanks for sharing that. And speaking of which, I think you guys are in a very good position at Great Pacific because of the copper side of things. And you were talking about, I guess, you know, the importance of copper as well. And you guys have, you know, actually, you know, exposure to that. And what I wanted to bring up was a recent article that was from mining.com. And it says BlackRock says 12,000 copper is needed to incentivize new mines. And so what you guys currently have access to, I guess, will definitely play into this. So, you know, does this figure here of 12,000 out of copper is needed? Does this surprise you at all in reference to what the world needs as far as the actual metals themselves?
No, it's not a surprise. And I think that what we see out there is over the past 25 years, in general, you've seen copper mines become deeper. You've seen copper mines coming online that are lower grade. And you've seen, therefore, costs per pound of copper go higher. And in that environment, there's been a lack of investment capital into bringing on new copper mining operations. So you really see the supply crunch here within the realm of the copper space. At the same time, as places like China, India, etc., industrialize at such a rapid pace, and as there are government-mandated pushes around the world for electrification and decarbonization, demand for copper is skyrocketing at the same time that the supply side is getting crunched. Again, just a great setup in terms of copper price. And one thing that we have at Great Pacific is the projects that we have in PNG have very high-grade gold systems near surface, and that's the low-hanging fruit, and that's what we'll push forward with initially. But a number of these projects also have copper gold targets that give us, in terms of copper, the big size, scale, and scope that's needed to really make waves in the copper market. So we feel very fortunate to be in that position.
Interesting. Thanks for sharing that. So let's dive into it. I'm curious to get your thoughts. So Pacific, Great Pacific Gold Corp, you're the CEO and founder or CEO and operator of that. And so for those who may not familiar, we tend to focus on a lot of the exploration companies that happen to be based, you know, on this side of the world, whether it be Canada or in Central America region. But, you know, it's my first time, I think, covering a company based or founded upon activity out in Australia and in Papua New Guinea. And so for those who may not be familiar, I want to just bring up here on the screen here. We'll just dive right into it. But this is your website here. And so the world's best addresses for gold and copper. And that's a very interesting claim there. And so here's just some information here. So give us, I guess, a rundown at the origins of the company and just some details about, I guess, you know, one or two of the projects here and what you would want the audience to really pay attention to, which makes it such a, you know, possible a good opportunity for the investors.
Sure. So Papua New Guinea, PNG, it's known as the land of giants in the mining world. And that's because there have just been some huge world-class deposits found and developed in PNG in terms of copper and gold. I was really fortunate. 10 years ago, I was co-founder and former president of a company called K92 Mining. And this is a PNG-based company, started off as a micro-cap situation, grew to, at one point here recently, having a market cap of approximately $2 billion. We have 1,600 employees there, and the team there is doing a great job of really rapidly expanding high-grade gold copper production. So with that track record in PNG and operational experience there built up over the past decade, I went out with our team to look for additional assets in this country known as the Land of Giants. We've accumulated and assembled a huge land package, 2,500 square kilometers approximately. We have four different projects, and these projects range from being early stage exploration all the way through to quite advanced stage projects. For example, our Wild Dog project is a former producing mine. It was mined near surface for a very high-grade gold situation. But what we've seen is, in addition to targeting an expansion of that near surface high grade gold system. We also have at depth very significant copper gold potential, porphyry potential. So to give you an example of Wild Dog, you see this on the slide you have up now, 1,000 drill holes drilled, former producer, reportedly very high grades through historic drilling and production records, but only 1 kilometer of 14 kilometers of known strike has been examined by drilling. So 90, 95% of the known structure has never been drilled. So we have an opportunity to expand this project significantly along strike. But what's really interesting is, in addition to that big expansion potential along strike, the project has had very little exploration at depth. And our team of geologists has seen evidence in place, in situ, in the open pit itself, of porphyry mineralization. So we have some very big copper gold upside there. And we have a track record of operating in PNG. In addition to my background in PNG as a co-founder, former president of K92, we have Chris Muller on our team. Chris is a director of Great Pacific Gold. Well, Chris is the executive vice president exploration for K92. K92's CEO, John Lewins, is an advisor to Great Pacific Gold. So we've got the right team in Papua New Guinea in place. We have 4 excellent copper gold projects in Papua New Guinea now fully licensed for exploration. Just over the past week, we announced licensing at our Wild Dog asset. So 100% of our projects in PNG now have full licenses. So we're in very good shape in terms of the team, track record, the big scale, size, scope potential of these copper gold assets. We also have approximately 10 million cash on hand. So we're well funded to start up here on multiple exploration fronts. As an aside, and I don't say as an aside lightly, we also have some excellent projects in Australia next door. And what's really interesting here is in December, right at the end of the year, with a single drill hole into a project called Comet, we made what was one of the highest grade gold discoveries last year in the industry. We had just an eye-popping intercept on this single hole at Comet drilled in 2023 that graded 8 meters at 106 grams per ton gold. So we're following up on that high-grade discovery now. And for people that know a little bit about that part of the world, there was a mine called Fosterville. It's still in operation. It's owned by Agnico. Fosterville at multiple times has been the world's highest grade gold mine, the world's highest margin gold mine. Well, what we've got at Comet is a target type that is a Fosterville analogy. We have the same type of geology as Fosterville, same mineralogy as Fosterville, same age of rock as Fosterville. And the big discovery we made in December was made where these western dipping faults intersect the anticline, and that's a structural setting like Fosterville. So we're really excited to be following up on that. The drill's turning right now. More assays are expected any day. So in addition to this big commanding land package in PNG, where we've got a lot of experience, we're also right next door in Australia chasing down this Fosterville type analogy. And our COO, Rex Motten, actually lives just down the road from the Fosterville mine. He grew up in that area, a great geologist who knows that area of Australia as well as anybody.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Interesting. Now, with, you know, if we were to use a comparison of, you know, K92, which you were a part of, you know, getting that off the ground as well, you know, I read that it went from, you know, from, you took it from 2 million up to about 2 billion. If you were to compare those projects, you know, one is already fully proven and this one here is being ironed out or worked out, you know, are there similarities a lot? Or are they, or do you say you're still on track? Is it the same type of comparison, would you say?
Sure. Yeah. This is early days on Great Pacific. This reminds me of talking to people early days on K92. There are always differences, but there are some similarities. And I think obviously we're in PNG, where we have a successful track record of shareholder wealth creation. The other interesting thing conceptually is that at K92, we had low hanging fruit in this very high grade epithermal vein system. There was also always the big size, scope, scale potential there on the porphyries. K92 attacked that high grade system of epithermal veins early on, has had tremendous success, continues to have tremendous success in those epithermal veins. Just now, K92 is really getting around to testing the porphyry upside on that project, and it's immense. I think similarly, when you look at a project in Great Pacific like Wild Dog, the low-hanging fruit is this high-grade gold system near surface, and we can explore and expand and work on that. You know, there's always risk in exploration, but given the past results, we think we have some very high probability of success there near surface. At the same time, that project has the big size, scale, scope on the copper gold porphyries. So it's really a phenomenal land package that we have in Great Pacific, some great geology. It's early days. K92, as you mentioned, traded up to a $2 billion market cap. At Great Pacific here, we're sub a $100 million market cap right now. It's very early, but we're just getting started. The last license after a year of hard work on this assembly was just granted over the past 10 days or so. So it's early days, but we've got that big prospective geology in a place that we've created shareholder value before. So of course there are some similarities. We have a number of the same shareholders, and obviously, as I mentioned, some of the same team members starting out on this Great Pacific opportunity.
Interesting. So that's definitely good news, to say the least. But you guys are on a pathway, you believe, and so for those who might be interested, I guess, in finding out more information and diving deeper, where would you want to steer them to get more information, see the perspectives and things of that nature? And also, if you don't mind, can you share with us, I guess, your ticker symbols, where you guys are trading at and things like that, so people can, you know, take a deep look and see what's going on there?
Sure. We trade in the United States with the symbol FSXLF. We trade in Canada with the symbol GPAC. Our website, greatpacificgold.com, and also, of course, on SEDAR, we have all of our regulatory filings, news releases, etc. It's going to be a very busy several weeks ahead. The drill is turning in Australia. We anticipate assays any day now, following up on the high-grade discovery. We're just getting going in PNG. We're expecting some geochem results from a project that we have that's actually contiguous with it. It joins K92's tenements. We anticipate some results there in short order. We're starting up the drill at one of our projects in PNG called Arrow. So we're very drill-centric in terms of news going forward. It's going to be a very busy period on the ground. And we think in terms of news flow to the public that will update people on that fundamental progress.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us and sharing what's going on in Great Pacific. It sounds like you guys definitely have something well worthwhile there, well worth paying attention to. So I appreciate you taking time with the audience to share your thoughts on the current gold market, where it's heading, and all the bonuses and being involved in the space at this current moment. So thank you, as always, for joining me. And definitely look forward to following the progress you guys make, and hopefully having you back on later this year and, you know, see where you guys are at and see what's happening with the latest projections at that moment. But once again, thank you for joining us on RTD interviews, and good luck with everything. And definitely look forward to having you back on.
Great. Thank you.